Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. Psalm 91:11. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Psalm 91:11. Joshua 1:9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be fearful or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. Proverbs 24:14. Know that wisdom is for your soul. If you find it, then there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Proverbs 24:14. Proverbs 24:3. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Proverbs 24:3. Could you open your Bibles, please, to Luke 4:14. Luke 4:14. You see this verse on the screen before you, and you see it on the back of today's bulletin. Luke 4:14. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study, realizing, as always, that we study God's Word while our hearts are in harmony, in fellowship with the Lord. And we cannot be where God wants us to be unless we understand 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We spend a moment now to be sure that our hearts are ready to receive His Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice today in the fact that we know that heaven is our eternal home, not based upon our goodness, but based totally upon Your matchless grace. The Scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. And so we're thankful today for the fact that we have that assurance. We're here because You're so good to us. You made it possible for us to have another day. We're still alive because of Your grace, and we are thankful for it. We know that there will come a day when Your purpose and plan for our existence will come to a close. And when that takes place, You'll take us home. And the Scripture says then to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. We thank You so very much for the joy which is ours because of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful for the challenges of life. You have blessed us all so richly, and we're thankful for every blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we begin to look at this verse exegetically, we have analyzed today the subject of pneumatology. The word pneumatology, as you can see on the screen, comes from the Greek word pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. We not only have the word up here in the English for you, we have it in the Greek. You'll be able to see this word over and over again as we study the various verses of Scripture. Pneumatology is described by the word pneuma, and the word pneuma can be translated wind, breeze, or breath. And so we have on the screen for you to see that this word could be translated beautifully, the breath of God. What we have is a challenge. The challenge is for us to study the doctrines related to theology, the study of God, anthropology, the study of man, bibliology, the study of the Bible, pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit, Christology, which is the study related to Christ, soteriology, the subjects related to salvation, ecclesiology, those subjects related to the church, in eschatology, the subjects related to the end time events. We've analyzed this. We'll be studying these as we move along in coming weeks. The last one that you see on this page is the word pneumatology, and that is the word for the Holy Spirit. On the screen now, you see Luke 4:14. This particular session, we're dealing with the subject of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. In the previous session, we looked at the Holy Spirit from the standpoint of the Holy Spirit being a person. This verse of Scripture is a unique verse in that it presents our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things that could be described in relationship to the background, the historical background, but specifically we're looking at this verse today to check just the words related to our Savior. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. The word power here is the Greek word dunamai, D-U-N-A-M-E-I. And actually it is the word dunamis, which is the Greek word for dynamite or power. When I think in terms of the power of the Spirit of God, I have to tell you that we have to look at it as an emphasis upon dynamite, the power, the strong power of our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus returned in the power, the dynamite of the Spirit to Galilee. We stop and look for a few moments at the word Spirit, and you will see that it is made up of P-N-E-U-M-A-T-O-S, pneumatos. That is an emphasis upon the Greek word, which we've seen many times, the word pneuma. The first letters of that word, P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma, is the word that we're analyzing. What I have found very interesting, and I've been told that I've given this before, and that's okay, and that is that the word pneuma is the word from which we get our English word pneumonia. It's an emphasis upon the breathing apparatus of the body, the lungs. And what was interesting to me, I thought I would look up the word pneuma and I would find how the word is used, how many different words that are used to describe. And I found out that you can find the word pneuma with 6 letters. You can find the word with 7 letters. You can find the word with 9 letters. You can find the word with 10 letters, different words with the word pneuma in it. You can find the word with 11 letters. The word can be used with 12 letters. Aren't you excited to hear all this? The word is used with 13 letters. The word is used with 14 letters. And the word can be used with 15 letters. Now, it's not important for me to go through all of this other than to tell you that the word with 9 letters is pneumatic, P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-C, and also is the same word that we get the English word pneumonia. If you'll go on down to 12 letters, you will find the word that doctors use for the operation of removing a lung. And so it is the word P-N-E-U-M-E-C-T-O-M-Y. Or it is the word P-N-E-U-M-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y, pneumatology. I have a hard time saying this, so don't worry about it. It's a study of the spiritual. Pneumatology is a study related to the Spirit of God and what we're studying. The word P-N-E-U-M-O-N-E-C-T-O-M-Y is the word which means surgery to remove a lung. Now, if you want to have fun with a word, you can look up, do the same thing I did. I also found a word that has pneuma in it that has 14 letters. Let me just spell it to you real quick like. P-N-E-U-M-O-B-A-C-I-L-L-U-S. Pneumobacillus, if I pronounce that word correctly. And it emphasizes the bacterium in the respiratory that is related to a person having pneumonia. So I just wanted you to know that that's the word pneumobasilius. And so other words, you can look it up. You can have fun like I did with it. Also, I need to tell you that this word here is quite unique in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a fame went forth throughout all the neighborhood concerning him. What I've learned is, and I'm not going to spend time on this other than to just let you see how much fun I've had, that the word fame, which is P-H-E-M-E, is an interesting word with an interesting historical background. It relates to a woman or women who have the gift of gossip. And so the word is interesting, and you can look it up and have fun yourself, but it has to do with the fact that the emphasis is on mythology, and the word is used where a woman would live in a house with many windows, and all the windows around would be for the purpose of being able to see what's going on so she'd be able to talk about what she's saying. Now, that's a woman with the gift of gossip. It also emphasized the fact that this particular woman would start telling something, and she would start with a soft voice. And then as she talked, she would get louder and louder, start with a whisper, and get louder and louder and louder until she was shouting. Now, that's the Greek word that is translated here, fame. I thought you'd find that interesting. Also, I found that the word neighborhood was an interesting word. Immediately, I looked up the word because I knew that this word had a prefix, which is P-E-R-I at the beginning, then C-H-O-R-O-U. And the word, the last part of the word emphasizes property or space, and peri means around. So it means to walk around or dance around in a area of a space, a spatial area. And so here it says that his fame was known throughout the area. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a fame went forth throughout all the neighborhood. What I'd like to do in a few moments is to present to you 10 points in relationship to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The first one is point one, and it's related to Jesus Christ and the fact that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. We'll begin reading with verse 26, and we'll read several verses. Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "You're favored, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Look at verse 34, if you will, please. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring should be called the Son of God." What I'd like for you to do is, if you highlight your Bible, if you underline, you mark, please mark Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Holy of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God." And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in the sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. Now, what I want you to see is, and this is so fantastic, and that is that we all understand the virgin conception and the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are fully aware of the fact that the Holy Spirit brought about this great conception. What's amazing to me is that Mary is an individual like any other lady of that day, because Mary was a woman, as we all know, like any other person, she had a sinful nature. Now, that simply means that had the old sinful nature been passed from a mother to the son, then the Lord Jesus Christ would have been the recipient of an old sin nature. Now, all of us are fully aware, and we've studied this many, many times, and that is that the old sin nature is passed down from the daddy to the child. Now, you can look at your husband if you want to, but let's just go on. I just want you to understand that the old sin nature is passed from the dad, the father, to the child, and not from the mother to the child. We understand that very clearly because the Lord Jesus Christ did not have a sinful nature. He was born pure, spotless, sinless. Jesus Christ was born without an old sinful nature. All of us understand that. The reason for it is because of the virgin conception and the virgin birth. We know that Joseph was not the father of the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was classified as the earthly father. We realize that the genealogies are found in Matthew and Luke. You can study that for yourself. But this is an emphasis, point one, on the fact that Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's point one. Much more could be said there. Point two. The Bible prophesies the virgin conception in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, and the prophecy is found also in Psalm chapter 45, verse 7. We have 2 points given to you so far. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, one conceived by the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit, prophesied in Psalm 45, 7, Isaiah 11, 2, and Isaiah 61, and verse 1. Number 3, the Holy Spirit leads the Lord Jesus Christ. This is found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. The scripture there says, "Then was led up the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." That's Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Just as the servant of Jehovah, Jesus took His own initiative in nothing, but always acting under the authority and the orders being directed to Him in His movement by the Holy Spirit, to whom He was always subject. What I'm simply saying in that sentence is, when Jesus Christ was on the earth, we discovered that He was willing to deny Himself of certain deity characteristics in order to fulfill His God's plan for Him in His humanity. Point three, led by the Spirit. Number four, the Bible indicates very vividly that Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returning from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We find that in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and John chapter 3, verse 34. I realize that we could spend a lot of time on each one of these points, but I could not give you an overview by giving you 10 points if I spent a lot of time on each one of them. Number 4 again, He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, John chapter 3, verse 34. Number 5, we look at the life of Jesus Christ on the earth. He accomplished His ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. He accomplished His ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. What we must realize is that when Jesus Christ was here as the God-man, the Theos Anthropos, this is an emphasis upon the incarnation, God in the flesh, while God was on the earth in the flesh, that Jesus Christ accomplished His ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is found in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. I read these verses to you, Luke chapter 4, 18, 19. "The Spirit of the Lord was upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." This is prophesied, for instance, in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. We see the fulfillment in Luke chapter 4, 14, 18, and 19. What am I saying in point 5 is that Jesus Christ accomplished His ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. Number 6, what we see is that Jesus sacrificially offered Himself through the Spirit. Jesus Christ sacrificially offered Himself through the Spirit. This is found in the writings in the book of Hebrews. The writer there tells us in Hebrews 9:14, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offer Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." What a magnificent verse that is. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Let me read it again to you. You probably ought to write this somewhere in your notes. Hebrews 9:14. That Jesus sacrificially offered Himself by means of the Holy Spirit. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We could get into the subject of a fortiori, but we will not do that now. In other words, in the Scripture, there's an emphasis upon much more. And what the Lord does, then He emphasizes that. Then He says, but you need to look at it from the standpoint of the fact that He does much more. And the word "much more" is used over and over again. It's found right here. "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead also will much more quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you." Well, that's number 7, right? Number 8. The Spirit of God says that the commandments to the apostles after His resurrection were given by means of the Holy Spirit. I don't know whether I spell these all out for you. I don't think I wrote them out for you to see. I probably should have done that. I'm going to have to take back something I said in the previous service. I said to you in the previous service that I'm kind. Now I'm going to have to say I'm not so kind. I was thinking I did this, but I guess I didn't, because I don't have a transparency for you to see that gives you these 10 points. Oh, I'll just have to do it and bring it on Wednesday night for you to get these down. All right, did you get them? Number 1, let's go over it again. The Holy Spirit brought about the conception of Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Number 2, Jesus Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit. It was prophesied in the Old Testament in Psalm 45, verse 7, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, Isaiah 61, verse 1. Number 3, the Holy Spirit led the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Number 4, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, John chapter 3, verse 34. Number 5, while Jesus Christ was on the earth, those 33 years, He accomplished His ministry by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting to see in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." What's so amazing about that is that's prophesied in the Old Testament. Are you aware of the fact that Isaiah, God's man, is prophesying about 700 years before Jesus Christ came on the scene? Isn't that interesting? The Bible is a fantastic book. And the more you study it, the more you realize that there are so many things there that you and I don't know. The more we study, the more we realize we don't know. I can tell you that for myself. After what, 3 years of studying the Bible? There are many, the more I study, the more I realize I don't know. So I'm just wanting to let you know that no matter how smart you think you are in the Word of God, you're rather dumb. Now, I'm not being very kind, am I not, when I say that? But I'm just telling you the truth about all of us. Jesus came on the scene in His ministry on the earth, those 33 years, the God-man in the flesh. He accomplished His ministry by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you and I think we're going to ever accomplish anything for God, we must realize we're not going to be doing it in the energies of the flesh. We have to be very careful about this. We're not going to be accomplishing God's purpose and plan in the energies of the flesh. Jesus said, I didn't do it. And Jesus Christ was the God-man. The Spirit of the Lord, He said, is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, to set liberty to those who bruise, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 61:1 tells us about this 700 years before it took place. We see it in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Number 6, He sacrificially offered Himself through the Holy Spirit. How much more, Hebrews 9:14. How much more, a fortiori, a fortiori. You can pronounce that word however you want to. You smart people, you don't want to say a fortiori. I say a fortiori all I want to. Most of you who are smart, you're intellectual, and you're getting right down to where it is, a fortiori. Okay. Some of you are saying, what are you saying anyway? Okay. Much more is what I'm saying. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Number 7. Oh, look at this. Jesus Christ was resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Those of you who missed the first service because you were teaching, let me encourage you to go and get that passage of Scripture and the emphasis there. It is so powerful because it emphasizes the fact that John 14:20 says, in this magnificent age called the church age between Pentecost and the rapture, Jesus Christ lives in us. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling of Christ. We can have the filling of the Holy Spirit. We have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ says, I in you and you in me. We must know that in these bodies, as born-again believers, that Jesus Christ lives in us. Oh, we must understand that. We must understand that. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. The last point you remember in the previous message was the fact that the Lord, one of these days, is going to quicken these bodies. We're living in a dying body. Did you know that? A deteriorating body. A decaying body. I go through those words over and over again because I want you to understand. And many times when I begin this, I see a lady saying, decaying, deteriorating, disintegrating. She's quoting me because she's heard it so many times. She's not here right now, so I can't pick on her. But I am here to tell you that we're living in a dying, decaying, deteriorating, disintegrating body. Did you know that? You young folks don't know it, but the older you get, the more you're going to be able to see it. Amen. The Spirit of... I thought we'd get one amen. He's a guy on the walker or something up here. He understands. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and He does, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken our mortal bodies. Number 8. There's a commandment in the scripture to the apostles after his resurrection. Listen to this. In Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, unto the day which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto his apostles, whom he had chosen. What that passage tells us, are you familiar with the book of Acts? Do you realize that this is the Acts of the Holy Spirit? The Acts of the Holy Spirit. It says, I've given the commandments unto the apostles whom I've chosen. So the commandments of the apostles after his resurrection were given by means of the Holy Spirit. Number 9. Oh my. Are you familiar with Acts chapter 2? And Pentecost? The Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Acts 2:33. Okay. Let me have a little fun with you. Do you realize what happened on the day of Pentecost? When the Spirit of God worked in a miraculous way, and in that passage of Scripture, there's an emphasis upon people receiving the gospel of salvation in the language in which they could understand. Did you hear what I just said? Now, if you want to use a word, unknown tongues, that's okay with me. If you understand what the word glossolalia, you can go in through all the words there if you understand what that means. We have people very mixed up today in relationship to the subject of the unknown tongue. I don't have the time to discuss this, but I can see that most of you right now are saying, tell me more. I want you to understand, and we'll just leave it with this, that people came on Pentecost from various places who spoke various languages. And the Holy Spirit has a way of not confusing people, but helping people to understand. Today, there are those who are trying to recapitulate, reiterate, reinvent the wheel, and they're trying to bring back what has been hissed off the stage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which was the gift of tongues. One of these days, we're going to study the various spiritual gifts. One of the gifts is the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues was a legitimate spiritual gift. A legitimate spiritual gift was used for a specific purpose, and when that purpose of that legitimate spiritual gift had been accomplished, it was hissed off the stage. That's the reason why there are certain spiritual gifts that were hissed off the stage at various times, and when we study the spiritual gifts, we'll be able to see when in history these gifts were hissed off the stage. And so what we're discovering is today that there are many people trying to redo, bring up a spiritual gift that was hissed off the stage many years ago, and they're trying to reproduce that, and they're confusing individuals very much. Now, these individuals came from various places, and they were able to hear the gospel presented to them in a language that was their language they could understand. It would be unknown to this person, but it would be known to this person. It would be unknown to this person, but known to this person. You see what I'm saying? Now, you folks are listening so attentively. Oh, my. I'm on point 9. Bestower of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Acts 2:33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed for this, which you now see and you now hear. We'll talk more about that later. Point 10. The filling of the Holy Spirit and the utilization of truth brings victory in your life and mine. I put in my notes, and this is what I want to close with. Jesus Christ lived his life in absolute dependence upon and subjection to the Holy Spirit. That's a sentence that needs to be recorded for you. Jesus Christ lived his life in absolute dependence upon and subjection to the Holy Spirit. This verse of Scripture says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and fame went out throughout the neighborhood concerning him. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for this day, the opportunity which is ours to just open our eyes and get a little bit more information from your wonderful word. There's so much for us to learn. We pray that you will guide us in coming days as we present your word, that we'll be able to present it where we can all understand, and that we can utilize truths of God's word so that we can be effective witnesses for our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. The deacons will remember to meet at this point of time. Thank you so much.